This is The Blitz.
Hour number two of The Blitz starts now. If you would like to watch our Periscope, it is being tweeted out right now on the Fox Sports Knoxville Twitter page. Also, if you missed hour one, if you missed any of the hours from any of the shows, any of the days, you can always go back to wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Those are on iTunes, SoundCloud, and you can catch up on what you missed during the hours. So what we talked about a little bit to end hour one, and where we will kind of begin hour two with, is kind of where the trend of expectations for Tennessee has been. And I do think that there is a little bit of a difference between the local perception, and even if you might not be in the local region, if you are listening to this show, you know, you are probably still a true Tennessee fan, you know, and so you are counted in that mix, as opposed to the national point of view for Tennessee football. And I know the FPI is not an opinionated thing, right? But the FPI has Tennessee favored to win 9 out of the 12 games. They have their over-under closer to 8 than they do to 7. You have respected college football analyst Phil Steele coming out and saying that, you know, hey, Tennessee might actually have a good chance to win 8 to 9 games. The S&P Plus analytics system has Tennessee ranked as the 21st team in the country. And then, of course, yeah, you do have this Colin Cowherd fraud video making its way around Twitter that is just absolutely setting people on fire. So, you know, that's kind of where I want to take the discussion to start out with first is, first off, we knew this was going to happen at some point. We knew that the...
I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
I mean, yeah, the hype was going to come, but not like this. I don't think
this has come into an unreal amount, especially in the span of like a week. You have all this stuff happening within the span of a week.
Sound you know what alarm. That is? That's the hype alarm right now.
I thought that was breaking news.
No, that's the hype alarm.
The hype meter.
The hype meter is so strong. It's more of a danger. That's what you think of
the
when
mercury
you hear that, right?
Has risen.
Danger.
I also thought it might be for the tropical storm that's threatening Louisiana right now.
Oh, well, do you want to talk about that, Brandon?
No.
Breaking news from Brandon, straight from the weather desk.
Tropical storm Barry.
Barry.
Damn it, Barry.
Good name.
Anyway.
Good name for a storm.
Tropical storms have
sometimes
good names,
bad,
generally.
Sometimes they're bad names. Barry's a good one. So anyways, expectations. Now, does this Chance alluded to it earlier. All right, you don't want to get kicked in the groin, right? You got to keep your cup on. But has all this information that we've received in the past week, I'm not gonna ask you if you've jumped into the 9-win range, but has this kind of started to slowly but surely raise your expectations? Has it started to raise your thoughts on what this team is or what it could be?
Yeah, it has.
I kind of agree.
It made me think that we're not going to be a flaming pile of crap.
Fair.
So you feel like more excited. You feel like, you know, secure with everybody saying this. Like, it makes you feel a little bit better about the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not buying into 8 or 9 wins, but it does make me feel a little bit better than, I mean, makes me feel like, okay, well, maybe we can make a little bit of noise.
Mm. And like you said earlier, I don't know if it's like Phil still trying to hype people up whatever region he's in. I mean, even like Phil said, maybe even to sell subscriptions to get people out there, get his magazine. Yeah, I got Tennessee, you know, yada, 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 whenever he's doing all these hits, whether it's in Nashville here West Tennessee, whatever. But I'm with you. I just don't buy the 8 to 9 wins. I just don't see it. Like, with the offensive line woes, I could see 8 wins. I'll take that back. I could see you getting to 8 wins with a bowl win if you get a nice bowl draw, a bowl draw. But I think that they make a bowl this year. I think that's going to be a positive thing. But I think there's going to be a lot of games where people are going to be upset that are going to disappoint them. Vanderbilt, whether, you know, they should have beat Tennessee last year, whether they have any chance in hell to beat them this year, Derek Mason gets pretty hyped for that game. Like we've talked about it before. You can win 5 games at Vanderbilt every year, 4 games, and as long as one of those 4 or 5 games, in my opinion, is Tennessee, and you're beating up on them every year from Vanderbilt's standpoint, that's probably pretty exciting for them because they know how tough it's to recruit there. And then just – I think you might have some disappointment. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but I think there's going to be some games, South Carolina, Missouri, where, you know, that FPI was pretty high on Tennessee. But I think some of those games might be some disappointments for them. So that's why I say keep your cup on. Stay prepared. We do this every year, people. You do this every year. Bear, he gets the barometer going. I get a little excited sometimes as the season gets a little bit closer, outside of last year. But, like, we all talk ourselves into – they're a little bit better than what we thought they were. We start, the talking season gets going, like right now. It all starts right now with College Preview magazines, and we all get a little bit more excited. It's the down period. We see more articles about Tennessee. We see a little bit more positivity here, a little bit more positivity there. We all get a little bit more hype, and it's every week. It's a little bit more, a little bit more. Which I think I can. And then by the time the damn season starts, 10 wins. They can do it.
Troy says on Twitter, this is UT. The national media doesn't realize that this is the University of Tennessee. If it can go wrong, it will. Look at the last 2 years. He's saying he took the under at 6.5. So I think that is a fair point from how a lot of Tennessee fans feel, is that, hey, you know, the national people, they kind of look over at Knoxville and, you know, they see what happens year in and year out, especially the last, you know, maybe 2 to 3 years or so, and they see that, oh, man, Tennessee kind of fell apart there at the very end, or they fell apart there in this game. But then I think that narrative is quickly forgotten when it moves into next year, right? So that's why some of the national people are consistently getting excited about Tennessee, whereas we sit here in the offseason and we go, well, you're not really here looking at the team all the time like we are. Now, I will say, that kind of feeds into actually why that, you know, this is starting to raise my expectations. I look at myself and my own opinion about the team, and I think, well, maybe I'm being a little too negative. Maybe I'm being a little too pessimistic about this team when I say that until I see over 6 wins, I will not believe it. Right? And that maybe these guys who are looking at afar aren't necessarily looking at, you know, the negative qualities and the negative traits that we're looking at, even though, yes, we see that there is an inevitable Tennessee factor, right? And the Tennessee bad luck factor does play its way in, right? So I'm with you guys. Like, I'm not going to jump up to 9 wins. I don't even know if I'm going to jump up to 8 wins. But maybe it does raise me, who has... It's been my stance all offseason, is I won't go above 6-6 until I see it. Maybe this is starting to raise me up to 7-5, because people who are not looking at this with the kind of with the negative orange colored goggles, because there are different kinds of orange goggles that we are wearing. Maybe they do see it from a more broad point of view rather than breaking down everything that could go wrong.
Yeah, I think that maybe that's true, and we're, you know, more closer to it. We have a thicker grasp on everything that's happening around here, you know, being right here, you know, covering it every damn day. But I don't know, man. A lot of people are hype on them. It scares me at the same time. I don't think it's anything where players are going to, like, feed into it. I think Jeremy Pruitt is too good for that to allow his team to do that. But when everybody's on the hype train, particularly in football, it always goes south, it seems, in the last, you know, 6 to 7 years or whatever. But everybody else is hype on them, and you're like, you know, maybe they do got a pretty good team when you think about it. That's when things happen. I think a lot of people are giving a lot of credence to Big Jim Chaney coming in, too.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what the difference is and what we see is what will happen versus what should happen, right? You look at Tennessee's schedule, and you kind of even break it up into three parts, three groups of four. You should win three out of your first four. You should win three out of your last four. Well, there you go. That's six right there. And then the middle four has Mississippi State and South Carolina, which, depending on who you talk to, should be maybe one, could be anywhere from 0 to 2 wins right there. So there's such a distinct difference of what it should be, right? You're likely a better team than Vanderbilt, Kentucky, UAB, Chattanooga, Georgia State, BYU. Three in the first four, three in the last four. What can you do against South Carolina and Mississippi State? And I think that Tennessee fans just kind of have had the realization of, hey, should win and could win are very different things. And we certainly have figured that out in the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of where it seems like not even figured it out. That's been where you're stuck at it in kind of a purgatory. A should win, you know, could win kind of like scenario for the last couple of years. A lot of games out there should have won, could have won.
Rick, you were talking about the S&P earlier.
Correct.
They've got their projections. I think you said they had us something like the 21st best team or something like that. Anyway, they kind of go through Tennessee's schedule. And they kind of fall more in line with the 6-6, 7-5. They kind of fall more in line with the Vegas odds.
Okay.
So they've got obviously all the cupcakes. Georgia State, Chattanooga, UAB projected to win. They've got BYU, Tennessee win probability at 71%, projected margin of 9.8 points. So feeling pretty good about that one. They give us a 21% chance against Florida, 19% against Georgia, 37% chance against Mississippi State. That's a game that the FPI had us projected to win. I think but that one was about 55 or something like that. They've got the margin at Mississippi State at -6. And then they've got South Carolina, Tennessee with a 51% chance to win that one with the projected margin of 0.6.
Can you send me that?
Yeah.
So I think that would be interesting to compare side by side with the FPI.
Well, the tweet I'm sending you has them compared.
Oh, that's perfect.
They're side by side.
So it is interesting, right? It is the deep dive into numbers and analytics of this, right? So, okay, so what is a game that we feel like, you know, could go either way? Maybe like a Mississippi State or a Missouri?
I'd say Mississippi State.
Okay, so let's look at the Mississippi State game. So the S&P Plus has us at a 37% chance to win Mississippi State. The FPI has a 55.4% chance. Look at a game like Missouri. S&P Plus gives us a 34%. FPI gives us a 50.4%. So there is a difference on, you know, when you look at those two games right there. Well, now that is looking more at the 7-5 range compared to the 9-3 that the FPI, I think, got a lot of people very excited about. And I'm not trying to crush your excitement. I don't think any of us are trying to do that. Like, if you want to get excited, by all means, go for it. We need some of that energy back. Like, we need some of that energy in the stadium. Be warned, though, you know, just because you're excited, like Chance often says, don't take the cup off. But it is It is just a very interesting facet of the different stats that are collected and how that is affecting people's expectations going into the year. I think I would lean more closely to the S&P Plus, which has us in the top 25, but it is the 21st overall. Like you said, Brandon, you're more in the 7-5 range, give or take, a game on each side.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said to start the conversation, I'm not buying the 9 wins. And like Chance said, I could see 8. If everything goes right, if everything goes the way that if the ball bounces Tennessee's way every single time, and you're being realistic, I think 8 wins is possible. Is it probable? No. I think 7-5 would be a good season.
I totally agree.
6-6 is acceptable. I would take 6-6. 5-7.
6-6 is going to be acceptable. 5-7, I'm not really going to accept at all. I think that you can't go 5-7 2 years in a row.
Seven, I do think there is trouble brewing.
I think that his seat is getting hot if he goes 5-7. 6-6, yeah, that'll suffice. You're getting to a bowl game. You haven't been to a bowl in 2 years. That'll be nice. 7-5 is realistic. And then the 8th win coming at the bowl win is even more realistic, and that could help you out too. So, yeah, I, like I said, realistically, I think they can get 8 games off a bowl win at the end of the year, but 7-5 is where I think they're at. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump into the discussion today, phone lines are open. Talking season. A little ranking, a little S&P, a little FPI. It all ends with Tennessee's hype train just chugging right along. The big orange glasses are on, definitely. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump on with us. Our segment number 2 coming up next.
Back here on the Blitz. If you'd like to join the program, 865-546-8200, the same number as always. Moving away from the Tennessee football discussion, we move over into the association. 3 things that I kind of want to try to hit on within these next 12 to 15 minutes. First and foremost, 2 huge trades could be on the brink sometime soon. The first one being that many executives around the league think that Russell Westbrook to the Heat is seen as a, quote, inevitability. A lot of executives think that, hey, many people are believing that this not only can happen, but it will happen, that Miami is the only team that is, quote, willing to take on both Westbrook's money and his personality. I would like to see how Westbrook would fit. I mean, you have some. You just signed for Jimmy Butler. You already got a decent, good enough point guard in Goran Dragic. He now probably goes out the window. He could potentially even be traded in this deal. What do you guys think about Russell Westbrook not leaving OKC? Because it's kind of expected at this point. OKC has failed him time and time again. It's time for that relationship to end.
Yeah, 11 years.
But what do you think about him going to Miami? Because the way that these executives are talking about it, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I think it seems like it suit him, Russell Westbrook, kind of like he's at the center of fashion in the NBA. I think of, like, you know, the South Beach scene.
Yeah.
You know, very colorful clothes. And
I think they would love him there.
Yeah, I think they would like him. He kind of has that mentality. He goes hard all the time. Him and Jimmy Butler. While a lot of people look at it and they're like, that locker room is going to be tough for other players to get along with because they're going to ask a lot of those players. Like Jimmy Butler asked a lot of his teammates in Chicago. We saw what happened in Minnesota when he was trying to get out of there and like the how he went at the organization, like pretty much just demanding a trade and the things he was saying in practice. So I think they're like two alphas, but like they're very competitive and they really care about winning. So they'll push their teammates. It might be tough for their teammates to kind of get acclimated to it at first because the expectations will be so high from those two guys. But those two guys are going to average, 25, 30 points a night. One of them's going to have 30. One's going to have, 25 range. They'll have to. But with those two stars, then it's going to be easier for Miami to get a third star with those two guys already there. And it's South Beach at the end of the day.
Seems like a bad mix to me.
It seems trouble. And I really don't even think that this does much for Miami in the playoff conversation. I know they're in the East. Which already gives them an advantage over where Westbrook has been in the past, but I don't know. To me, it kind of feels like a Paul George and Russell Westbrook duo is a better playoff fit than a Jimmy Butler and a Westbrook duo. Like, it seems like that you now have more personalities in the mix. Have more guys who want to shoot the ball on a consistent basis. It's interesting to me, although you can tell,
I don't know.
Don't blame Miami for doing it.
I just think that they both and they've been talked about. They got really close during Team USA. Like so, I actually like. I'm saying like when you got two guys that both want to win, they've had trouble getting their teammates on the same level as them. They're competitors. I don't think you have any problem there as far as like not enough shots going around. I mean like. How many shots do they need apiece? Like, they're going to be the only two people on this team to push this team night in, night out. So the shots shouldn't be a problem at all. Now, if you get to whose team is it? Is it Russell's team or Jimmy's team? Maybe you might have an identity crisis. But at the same time, I would think that those two guys would be able to maybe put things aside. I actually think it's going to be a really good fit if they get it done. It looks like it's heating up, as you would say. But I like it. I think putting those two guys together, ask a lot of their teammates, and they'll probably push a lot of those young players there. You might worry if you're a Heat fan, like what's the development of Tyler Herro going to be and things like that because they went out and got young.
Seems like he's balling out, as hurtful as it is to say that, in the summer league.
No, he has been playing well. So, like, does he take a back seat? Because Russell's going to demand the ball as far as he's not going to be the point guard. So is he just going to be playing a lot with the second unit, and is this going to stunt his development? Those are things I would worry about, but I don't really worry about the two of them. Interesting tidbit, since we're talking about Jimmy Butler. There are only two players in the NBA right now, or maybe even NBA history, I can't remember the stat, but have more steals than personal fouls. Can you name those two players? I think I gave you a
Jimmy
hint.
Jimmy Butler?
Can you name the second player?
Can you give me a hint?
Just think they have more steals than they do personal fouls.
Russell Westbrook?
So you would say that they were probably a pretty good defender.
Westbrook?
No, he's not a great defender at all.
Paul George.
It is Kawhi Leonard.
Ah, should have known it.
Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler, I'm pretty sure only players in NBA history who have more steals than they do personal fouls to their career. Lockdown defenders, dude. Don't commit fouls. Play hard-nosed defense. Know what they're doing out there.
Speaking of Kawhi Leonard, so his deal comes out. He signs with the Clippers, as we all know. Leonard signed a three-year, $103.1 million deal that includes a player option for the 2021/22 season. Does this raise any kind of flags? Does it come to your attention in any kind of way that Kawhi Leonard is only signing a three-year deal to be in Los Angeles with, I believe, that is a player option after two?
No, not really.
I mean, maybe he wants to keep his options open. And if you're the Clippers, what are you going to do, say no?
Yeah. You're not going to risk not having that deal happen.
So, I mean, I think he's going to stay there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, everybody close to him that they've been talking about or has talked to his uncle and everything close to the situation. I mean, like, even when he talked to Toronto's GM, Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball operations, he stated, you know, thanks but no thanks, I want to go back home. So as long as the Clippers win and they don't just fail, like, epically, and as long as they're winning, competing, playing in finals, and probably get one or two, or at least one, I think he stays there for
the rest.
I love
it when
I think he stays
like
there
the
for the rest of
in.
His career.
I love it when people like the uncles come in.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and they're like, oh, we should go talk to his uncle. Maybe he's got some inside information.
Apparently his uncle's really close to him.
Then, like, sometimes the uncle just, like, has no idea what he's talking about. Now, I'm not obviously saying this.
Or throws him on a loop on purpose.
Yeah, like, I love the narrative that, like, the best friend or the uncle have, like, deep inside information. And maybe they do. Oftentimes they actually do because they are close to the situation.
This just
but
in,
I just,
Rick.
I love that. Yes.
The Mavericks have re-signed forward Dorian Finney-Smith. Is he European?
No.
Okay. At least they're going on
a different track. It was not the news I was hoping for, Chance. You got me so excited.
Sorry, man.
So excited because the last bit of NBA news is that the Mavericks are trying to trade for the Memphis Grizzlies' latest acquisition, Andre Iguodala.
Iggy.
Bring it. Please. Please, Cuban. One time. Granted, you did make a big trade last season. But another time. Please make it happen. The Grizzlies don't need him. They're trying to ship him away.
See, this is what happens. You're never satisfied.
What do you mean?
Do it for me.
You're never satisfied, Rick. You're never satisfied.
Do it for
what?
Me. Do it for me this
you
one time.
You always want more. You always want more, Rick.
Do it for
you
me this
always
one
want
time.
More, Rick.
Oh, well, you did it last time. Do it for me again.
Could
well,
you give
what
me some
we
more?
Do this offseason?
I don't know. But
you're never satisfied,
Rick.
Never satisfied.
I'm very satisfied.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
The problem's with you millennials.
It's the problem with you, Pete. It's always more. More, more, more. I want
could
this.
I please have
then you
some
get
more?
It. Then you get it. Oh no, I want this
you
too.
You called me Oliver
sir,
Twist over
more.
Here.
I need more, sir. I need more.
I am no Oliver Twist. I just want my team to be good. You give me Courtney Lee. What are we supposed? What is anybody supposed to do with Courtney Lee?
Who is she?
I think it's the girl from Friends. She made her way onto the Mavericks roster.
You gonna be okay?
Come on!
Tough crowd in here.
Look, this would be great. Andre Iggy Iguodala.
Iggy.
Bring it. Bring it.
Iggy.
I won't be satisfied until we get Iggy. You know who else we're looking at, though?
Don't you say
from it. From the Miami Heat.
Don't you say it.
Kelly Olynyk. Golly, man! Kelly Olynyk!
Not helping the cause, Rick.
Not helping the cause.
Olynyk hasn't been as great since he left the Celtics. He should have stayed with the Celtics.
Well,
also,
I think they kind of got rid of him.
Yeah, they
like
saw
Brandon's
the
alluding
on the
to,
wall.
It doesn't help the offseason narrative that is happening. Neither does Goran Dragic. However, I would love Goran Dragic.
In other news, Rick.
Okay.
Celtics waived Gershon Yabusele.
I'm sorry. Who?
Gershon Yabusele.
Who that is?
That is the Celtics' first-round pick in 2016.
So he sucks.
He's been waived. You know what that means, Rick?
No.
It means they're making room.
Uh-oh.
Making room on the roster.
Taco Fall. Here we go.
Get
Big
out of
Taco
here, Rick.
Fall coming to the association live on Tuesday nights.
What are you talking about?
TNT.
Grant Williams.
The TNT
you
and T stands for Taco.
You dolt. I'm talking about Grant Williams, not Taco Fall. Nobody gives a damn about Taco Fall.
I love Taco Falls. 55. The big player. That's what they call him.
I kind of hope he makes the roster.
Me
I do too, but
I'd much rather see Grant Williams already has a spot on the main roster. Okay, so who is that coming open for? Big 55. Big Taco Falls. Good morning.
Good morning. Where will they go, Ricky? Where will they go? Seriously, the nerve of Wikipedia. That is something I'm glad you brought up. Always asking you to donate. Like, Wikipedia really did start trying to...
Always asking for money.
They always want more. Yeah.
You know what happens when Wikipedia goes to a paid programming service? We're all done.
Yeah.
No one's going back to Wikipedia.
Yeah, we're
Nobody
all done.
Nobody cares enough.
We're all done, Wikipedia. We'll just Google search and just have to... Yeah. We'll have to bypass the wiki page and just Google search it.
Just think of all the chumps out there that actually give money.
That give money to Wikipedia. Think of all the chumps. All
right, hold on. Let me figure out what Wikipedia is asking for here. Do they ask for a specific number?
No, it's just
donate. They give you different options.
It was like 1, 5, 10.
Great.
And then they tell you, they give you the option of a one-time donation.
Yes.
Or monthly.
Yep.
Oh, here it is. I love how they start it. It's so good. It's a little awkward, so we'll get straight to the point. What?
No, it's not awkward at all. Wikipedia ain't giving you no damn money. It's not
this
awkward
Thursday,
at all.
We humbly ask you to defend Wikipedia's independence.
No.
No.
They're playing on.
Time to pull on your heartstrings.
They're using the right words. Defend.
Buzzwords.
Independence.
Buzzwords.
The fourth was last week.
Yep.
It's only been a week.
They know what they're doing.
The price of your Thursday coffee is all we need.
Oh, that's another one. Like, hey. Coffee ain't that much.
The heart and soul of Wikipedia is a community of people working to bring you unlimited access to reliable, neutral information.
Heart,
you know what?
And soul. Heart and soul.
When they change the location of Kentucky basketball stadium to like Rick Barnes' house.
Yeah. Miss me with that heart and soul bullcrap, Wikipedia.
Your community of people working to bring you unlimited access to reliable, neutral information goes out the door.
We had this discussion weeks ago, and you were on my side about Wikipedia being reliable, Rick.
Yeah, you were.
You're over there with Chance.
Oh, no.
Yeah, thank you. Come on
do
over,
not
Rick.
Try to, do
Come
not
on
try
over,
to.
Come on over, Rick.
Sounds like
the water
okay,
is the water is quite
hold on.
Warm. The water is quite warm. Sir.
I believe that Wikipedia can be a reliable source. However,
no,
them advertising
info.
It,
don't
them
walk it back.
Advertising it as a community of people working to bring you unlimited access to reliable, neutral information is a scam.
No, I say like, there is a community of people that
the community strive. Of people is the people.
There is also a community of people though who just try to mess everything up. There's no doubt about it that they are there working in the shadows.
Anyways,
Wikipedia.
Rick, before we went to break,
should I donate $100?
Yeah, do it. As long as you can make rent, do it.
All right, give me your credit card.
No. Before we went to break, Rick, I feel like we were really close to a breakthrough. I feel like you really want to be a Celtics fan, Rick.
No.
It's okay.
I
will
not
gladly
really.
Welcome you with
not
open
really,
arms.
But
I need somebody to watch that can root for the Celtics.
Who's Cody's team? Who's he? Lake Show?
He likes whoever LeBron's with.
Oh, okay.
Brandon, I appreciate the olive branch that you have extended. However, I'm not going to take it. I am a strictly Taco Falls fan.
You know it's fall, not falls.
Why do you keep adding the S?
Oh, I don't know.
The first time, I just kind of let it go.
I'll be honest.
I thought you were just doing the thing. Then you did
no
it again,
idea.
Though.
I had no idea.
It's not falls. It's fall.
Taco fall.
Taco fall.
How about let's reach a
is
compromise.
Is it even taco or is it taco?
I thought it was taco. Brandon started saying taco.
No, I think they call them taco.
Like the
like,
food.
But it's
everything
it's spelled,
I've ever heard is taco. But yeah, it is
it's spelled taco.
Yeah. I've always heard it taco. Anyway, Rick, compromise. You can be a Mavs fan, but your Eastern Conference team will be the Celtics, and you can root for the Celtics.
Oh.
What's in it for me?
Or you could root for the Bulls.
You root for the franchise that has the most championships all time, Rick. That's what's in it for you, instead of your lowly Mavericks.
Oh, cut you down. After backhanded compliment.
You only have
right
one?
There.
Oh.
We only have one.
Oh, I gave you credit for one that you didn't even have. So,
correct.
You know, we have 17 times as many titles as you do, Rick.
Ouch.
17 times as many.
Ouch.
We're a growing organization, Jane. My brain. Sorry. You've got me all rattled now.
I'm extending the olive branch. We can compromise.
You know what?
You can still root for your trash franchise, but you can also root for the Celtics. And then maybe one day, Rick, maybe one day the Celtics can play the Mavs in the finals, and then you have a real dilemma on your hands.
I'm officially out on Taco Fall, okay? I'm out on it, Brandon. You have sold me in the other direction. I was all for it. Now I'm all against it. All right? I hope that spot doesn't become available.
It's already available. They already waived the game.
I hope they use it on someone else. Carson Edwards gets
Edwards.
It.
Carson Edwards.
Edwards.
Well, Rick, I'm glad you made that decision because you're either all in or you're all out.
I'm all out.
All right.
I'm all out.
All right. That's fine.
Trying to sneakily scheme my fandom away from me. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I'm just trying to let you in on the 17-time world champion. I'm trying to let you in on a little bit of the hardware, Rick.
You know, if I wanted to chase a team that had championships, I'd go to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Whoa. Wow.
I just feel like they're a more respected all-time franchise. The Lakers. That's what people know. The NBA. The Lakers. You know what, Chance? I think that's
fired.
What I'm going to do.
You root for the Lakers?
I'm also root for the Lakers this year.
That's going to be a
big
wonderful
Lakers.
Living room.
Me and Cody, big Lakers fans.
Lake
that's
Show.
What we are.
Lake Show. Yeah. Watching that
we
Spectrum.
We love the Laker girls.
Late night. Spectrum. That's the Lakers broadcast.
On TNT.
You know they're in the same conference as your Mavericks. That's going to cause some problems.
That is true, Rick.
It's not like our playoff seating will be anywhere close to each other.
Just taking a full hill turn, going full Lakers.
Yeah.
I like it.
Much like my man, my newest Tennessee basketball comparison to myself, the one, the only, Diesel, Kevin Nash. That's right. I have backtracked on our Tennessee player comparisons from a couple of days ago. I can't recall when it was. I would like to change my official pick to Kevin Nash.
That's who you're comparing yourself to as far as your Tennessee.
My basketball play style, yes.
Kevin Nash. You know Kevin Nash is like 6'10".
Yes, I do.
And a post presence.
Seen him jump off the top turnbuckle many a times.
In person? Live and in the flesh?
Absolutely not.
So Big you're Diesel. Telling me that you average 5.4 points a game?
Yeah.
And less than half an assist per game?
Well, I mean, I might do better in the assist department.
That's what you're telling me you bring?
Look,
and a half rebounds?
Is Kevin Nash the greatest Tennessee basketball player to ever live? You could make an argument.
No.
Should his jersey be in the rafters?
Whoa.
With a big Diesel on the back?
Whoa.
You could make an argument.
Whoa, no you can't.
It's part of the Red and Black Wolf pack.
Don't do that.
Too sweet.
You can make an argument. The man, what'd you say, he played in 80 games?
You know what, Rick? You deserve the Lakers. You deserve the Lakers.
Wow.
Inferior franchise.
This is escalated.
Kevin Nash played here from 77 to 80.
Yes,
Three seasons.
These are facts.
Increased his points per game every single year. If that's not great quality player, I don't know what is.
What did he did he ever start?
Yes. 26 games.
He started 26 games.
His last season.
Can you find some Kevin Nash Tennessee basketball highlight film?
Absolutely. I'll find it on the TV behind me right during this break. The GOAT, Kevin
Nash. We'll play
Diesel
it for the entire
Nash.
Last segment on Periscope for everyone's
My guy,
viewing
Kevin
pleasure.
Nash.
No
Your
one,
guy,
Diesel.
No one wants to see this.
I know what people do want to see.
No one.
Last segment of the Blitz coming up. If you haven't heard and more, maybe even a little Kevin Nash, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. That's the number to get on with us, the Blitz Fan Run Radio.
You've been there for the scraped knees. And a short time to get
there. Last segment of the Blitz gearing right up here. Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. Last call to get on the program.
Chance for bearing the lead. Jump on our Periscope at Fox Sports Knox. We have a Kevin Nash Tennessee highlight video being played in the background. It's riveting stuff. He's shooting some free throws.
Look at that beehive fro of his.
It's awesome.
Oh, man.
It is a true
Kevin Nash looks
white
very,
man
Kevin
fro.
Nash looks very fatigued out there on the floor.
43.
Looks like he
43
wasn't.
43 in the playbooks, but number one in your heart.
Looks like he
Kevin
wasn't.
Kevin Nash.
He wasn't taking the conditioning from Don DeVoe very seriously.
Boom!
You get that out of there.
Not in our house, Brandon.
No one can see this.
Not in Kevin Nash's house.
You know no one can see this.
That's false.
You know the people listening on the app, listening on the live stream, listening on the radio can't see this.
Let me tell you how many people can see this right now. Six.
Okay, Rick. If you haven't heard.
I didn't get an if you haven't heard ready, I'll be honest. Does anyone have one?
I had one from yesterday that you crapped all over.
Please tell us.
You made me eat that
what
stupid
was it?
Chip.
Go into it, Brandon.
If
you haven't heard, out of the West Coast,
said, go ahead and get into it, Brandon.
It like
if you haven't heard,
you haven't heard, out on the West Coast, news from the NFL. We don't talk much NFL in the offseason lately, but Melvin Gordon, he has asked for a new contract and is saying that he will not report to Chargers training camp should they not get a new deal worked out, looking for an extension and more money here on the table for Gordon. So keep an eye on that. Says he will demand a trade from the team if he does not receive a new deal. So there you go with that one. That's my if you haven't heard.
Brandon?
Well, it seems to have been deleted from the Google Doc, but I do seem to remember that it was a space voyaging company that would allow the general public to travel through space. One of the companies went public. Would you go on a space cruise?
How guaranteed is my safety?
Who's in charge of it? The dude, Elon Musk?
No, it's a different guy.
Okay.
How guaranteed is my safety? Very?
You're going in space, dude. There's no guarantees. You got to sign waivers. You might die. I mean, like, things might happen. This is space. You may never come back.
That's true. It is an endless void.
Like, you can't really say, like, put a a placeholder on safety when you're going to space. Like,
Virgin Galactic.
Them be's the rules, Rick.
That is true. You know what? If I had some buddies with me, maybe. If I get fired from my job, maybe. If Tennessee continues to have bad football seasons, definitely.
A 90-minute flight costs $250,000.
Oh. Great cash, homie. I'm out. I'm now out on the space cruise. I don't have that kind of money.
Not just for a 90-minute flight. I'm out.
Wait, how long does it take to get there?
I don't know how long it takes to get there, but it's 90 minutes. I don't know if that 90 minutes is just once you get up
there,
it's 90 minutes, or if it's 90 minutes the whole process.
Wow.
Not doing it.
Brandon, how much further are you in Stranger Things?
No further.
What episode are you on?
I've watched the first two.
That's further than me. I've watched one and a half now.
Almost
got through the
There
cycle.
Are great Slurpee references in Stranger Things.
A lot of Slurpee references.
We got back.
What do you like better, cherry or strawberry Slurpees?
Cherry.
Always cherry, but I like a little blue raspberry instead.
Why are you so excited that I like cherry Slurpees
yeah.
better than strawberry?
What if you had asked me to get a cherry Slurpee? I brought back a strawberry Slurpee.
I would still
drink the Slurpee, right?
But would you be a little upset?
Are you paying for it, or am I paying for it?
Would you maybe withhold some information?
Are you paying for the Slurpee, or am I paying for the Slurpee?
I mean, I'm paying for it. I'm trying to get some information here.
If you're paying for it, and you brought me back a strawberry Slurpee, no, I would not be mad. I would still drink it. Why would I be mad for something that you bought?
Oh, keep that in mind, Brandon. Keep that in mind.
Now, if I'm paying for it and you got it, and you got the wrong thing, yeah, I'd be mad.
Keep that in mind.
Something sounds fishy here.
Cherry Slurpees, strawberry Slurpees. You never know what it could lead to.
I'm so confused, and I'm pretty sure the audience is too.
I've been pretty confused for the last couple minutes.
Not if they've seen Stranger Things season 3.
Oh, are you giving away spoilers?
Absolutely not. But I am hiding spoilers in what I'm saying. Bum, bum, bum.
Wow. What's your, if you haven't heard, Rick, you're the only one that hasn't given one.
You can only get a free Slurpee from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
What? That's what? That what?
You can only get the 7-Eleven free Slurpee from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. They said.
You know, yesterday time. Was.
Oh, I got an if you haven't heard.
Oh, thank God. Damn it.
Lamar Odom, Jermaine O'Neal, Bonzi Wells, and Baron Davis have all been deactivated from
Good.
Ice Cube's Big Three League.
Good. What are they, like 55?
For competitive reasons and not due to off-the-court issues. They said, you dudes are just too old to be doing this. It's not competitive
really?
Anymore. You look like a bag of bones
really?
Walking around. I mean, the last stuff was my interpretation, but they have been deactivated for competitive reasons and not due to off-the-court issues.
Wow.
Which, you know.
Ice Cube. Judge, jury,
laying the smacketh down.
Executioner.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know anything about
that. Buffering
about
again over
ice
there?
Cubes. No, I'm thinking. You guys call it buffering. Like, I'm just thinking about what I'm going to say.
Oh, man, I was going to say.
I can't just spit it out. Like, it's not going to go well.
Before you were
say
talking
some
about
crazy
the,
things in my head.
The Slurpees today from 7. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. 7-Eleven with the Slurpees. I was going to say, yesterday was freaking, did you guys know yesterday was free Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich?
If you dress up like a cow?
But if you go through the drive-thru, they can't really say, you'd be like, yeah, I got my cow shoes on or something like that. They can't really do anything. And you could go to multiple Chick-fil-A's and hit them up all day.
It's Cow Appreciation Day. It was a big deal.
You withheld this from us yesterday, Chance?
Did you not know this?
Rick also withheld it from you, and he's your roommate.
No, he's not, because he's not moved in.
Also true.
Yeah,
you both withheld.
Well, therefore, the first one isn't true.
It
can't be also true.
I'm not
going to
lie.
The first part wasn't true.
Because I wanted all the damn chicken sandwiches to myself.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Yep. One less chicken sandwich, one less chicken sandwich I get.
That right there. Is today's edition of
I think
the
it
Blitz.
Was the Blitz.
It probably was. It probably was. The Blitz, the Kevin Nash Appreciation Show, whatever you want to call it, is what we are. These guys will see you in here tomorrow at the same time, the same place. I will see you back on Monday. Hope you have a great weekend. Tune in tomorrow. It'll be a great show. For Chance, for Brandon, for myself, thank you for listening to the Blitz. Talk Sports coming up next.